Today's scripture reading is from the book of Timothy, chapter 4, verses 1 to 10. Now the Spirit expressly says that in later times some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons through the insincerity of liars whose consciences are seared, who forbid marriage and require abstinence from foods that God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is made holy by the word of God and prayer. If you put these things before the brothers, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, being trained in the words of the faith and of the good doctrine that you have followed. Have nothing to do with the irreverent, silly myths. Rather, train yourself for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. For to this end we toil and strive, because we have our hope set on the living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially of those who believe. This is the reading of God's word.
Well, it's good to see everybody here today. Hopefully you've had a good week. What I'm doing today, and actually in the following weeks, is we're kind of starting a new series here a little bit. And I'm going to just a warning, this is what I want to call it, more of like a seminar slash sermon, okay? And so it's a little different. It's going to be a sort of an introduction to a few things that we want to start and restart in the church in the next few weeks, as we talked about in our congregational meeting. And that's why I'm going to bring this up here again a little bit. So it's meant to be a little bit more, I guess, practical in some ways, and something more to think about. Paul's writing to this church here, as Youngjae just read, and they've got some issues. There's people who are walking away from the faith because they're hearing and learning things that aren't quite in line with what Paul says is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he's writing to Timothy, this younger guy who's a pastor in this church, and he's telling Timothy how to handle that. And what he basically says there is this. He says in verse 7, have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather, train yourself in godliness, for while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way. And basically, it's a very practical advice. He says, look, number one, you got to know what you know. You've got to know what you know. And if you don't know what you know and someone's telling you stuff, and it could be something completely different, you wouldn't know any better because you don't know. And so he's telling Timothy, in order to protect yourself from that, you've got to train yourself. You've got to train yourself in godliness, right? That's where we're going to focus today. This is what it's all about, and I think it's what we want to do here in the church. Now, when you hear about the word gospel, we've said this before, basically it means something like this. You've been saved as a Christian. You've been saved by grace alone. It means you didn't do anything. It means you didn't earn it. It means you didn't deserve it, but God chose to love you, right? And he did that through faith alone, that all you do is not trust yourself, but you trust in somebody else, okay? According to Scripture alone and for the glory of God alone. And so we've heard that before. Hopefully you know that, at least if, you know, even if you don't agree with that, that's what is the core of our message. And so sometimes what happens is, because you understand that, we misunderstand that by saying, well, you know, I didn't do anything to be saved. It wasn't my effort. I didn't have to, like, earn it. And so it sounds like you're saying that in order to be a Christian, I don't got to do anything. I don't need to do anything, right? And that's partly true, but it's partly not true. And this is what I'm going to say. The word I want us to learn today is this Christian word. It's not in the Bible, all right, but it's been in the church for a very long time. And this is the word, spiritual discipline. Spiritual discipline, okay? We're going to talk a little bit about spiritual discipline. Three things. What is it? Why even do it? And how do you do it? Spiritual discipline. What is it? Okay, what is it? Basically, it's this. Spiritual discipline is a deliberately self-imposed habit that nurtures spiritual health, fosters spiritual growth that leads to maturity. Spiritual disciplines are those practices, those activities we find in the Bible and sometimes elsewhere that promote spiritual growth among believers in the gospel of Jesus Christ. They are habits, habits of devotion that have been practiced since biblical times. And so this matter, this subject matter of spiritual discipline is meant to be very practical because what we're talking about here are not attitudes. We're not talking about character or character qualities. We're talking about practices, things you do. That's what a spiritual discipline is. And like any other discipline, disciplines are things you need to do. So an example of a spiritual discipline would be like reading your Bible, praying, going to your community group, even coming to church on Sunday. You can consider that a spiritual discipline. Spiritual disciplines include things like meditating on scripture, worshiping, serving can be considered a spiritual discipline. They're all activities. All these activities, the activities that are meant to help you grow in your personal knowledge, your understanding, your experience of Jesus Christ and the gospel. Okay? That's what spiritual discipline is. Basically, you can say this: anything you do on a regular basis as a Christian can be considered a spiritual discipline. Okay? Now think about this. Why do they call it discipline? Why do they call these things discipline? If you need to be disciplined in something, what does that mean? And it means this. It means that doing some of these things aren't always the natural, intuitive thing to do, right? They are disciplines. We call them disciplines because it means that I need to make a conscious, intentional choice to engage in them because they're not always things I would do if it was up to me. To be very honest, there are times, many times, I don't feel like doing what I know to be necessary for my spiritual health. There are times where I don't feel like coming to church. There are times when I don't feel like reading the Bible or praying. And there are times I don't feel like I need it, right? But they're called disciplines because it means that I need to be intentional about it. I need to be put an effort, a conscious effort to engage in them. So for example, I know we have a few dentists and doctors in our church. I'm going to be very honest. I don't like doctors. I don't like dentists. I don't know many people that love visiting the dentist or the doctors. Who visits their dentist and who wakes up in the morning and says, oh man, I really can't wait to visit my dentist today because I love it when he's drilling in my teeth. I can't wait to see my doctor today because I just love it when he's sticking needles in my, you know, in my body. I mean, who says that, right? And yet at the same time, I know that going to the dentist is good for me. It's good for my teeth. And I know that going to the doctor is also good for my health. So discipline, spiritual disciplines, they provide me a structure, some kind of structure to carry me through the times I would otherwise ignore my spiritual health. Right? That's what spiritual disciplines are. That's why it's a discipline. Okay? Now, second point, why do it? Why do disciplines? Why do it? Paul tells Timothy in verse 7, he says, have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather, train yourself for godliness. Train yourself for godliness. If you look at the second half of verse 7, Paul gives Timothy an imperative. He says, train yourself. Train yourself for godliness. Now, here's the thing. The word train in the original languages is oftentimes translated in English as discipline. Discipline. Discipline yourself, right? But the Greek word here for training is this Greek word called gymnazo, which we get the word gymnasium. You hear this similarity? It's a gym. Literally, the word train means exercise. Exercise. Right? It's an athletic word because especially in Paul's time and in Greek culture, athleticism was a big part of life. Everyone was involved in something of some sort of physical activity. The word train literally means exercise. So the word meant to exercise, it means to train yourself in some athletic endeavor, some rigorous, strenuous, some self-sacrifice kind of training. And then what's the goal of this exercise? What's the goal of this training? Verse 7, for the purpose of, what he says, godliness. Now, when I say the word godliness, I know there are people in our church who are thinking, you know, that's a holy moly kind of word, right? That's not me. I'm not godly. I don't want to look like that. But what is godliness? And it simply means this, a God-centered life. To be close to God. To grow in intimacy with God. It's not just to be like God, but to be closer to God. Because here's the thing. The more you are closer to God, the more you become like him. His presence in your life is your hope of becoming the person that God wants you to be. That's what godliness is. That's what godliness does. You bring God into your life, you get closer with him, and then you start looking like him, talking, thinking maybe even more like him. That's the goal of godliness. Paul says, train yourself. You're not going to do this automatically. You need to train yourself. You need to exercise. Paul is saying to Timothy that the good servant of Jesus Christ engages in spiritual discipline with the goal of godliness. He deliberately, intentionally practices and trains with the view of cultivating his spiritual health. In other words, if you're a Christian today, but you feel like you're lacking intimacy with the Lord, if you feel like you're lacking consistency in your Christian life, if you feel like you're not growing in your Christian life, you might be lacking in discipline. Discipline. You need to go and exercise with the goal to godliness. Basically, what Paul is saying here in verse 7 is this. You need to work out. You're out of shape, spiritually speaking. You need to work out for godliness. You need to deliberately practice and train with this goal in mind. He's telling us that we need to actively pursue, actively cultivate our spiritual life. It's not going to happen overnight. It's not going to happen automatically. At this point, some of you might be thinking, because you know you heard about this gospel thing. You said, well, Pastor Francis, I thought we're all saved by grace. We're all saved by faith, not by works, not by doing anything. And we don't have to do anything to be a Christian because Jesus did everything on our behalf. And at some level, that's true. God accepted you based nothing on you, but just because he wanted to. Right? Doctrinally, that's true. But while that might be true, we also need to remember, right? There is something you need to do. You're not saved by a doctrine. You're not saved by a system of belief. You're saved by a person. You're saved in a relationship with this person, Jesus Christ. If you want to believe in God or in the Bible and Christianity just to avoid hell or go into heaven, your view of Christianity is too small. Because if knowing truth doesn't cause you to love God more relationally, something is off. Because the Bible even says that Satan and demons, they know the truth of God and they hate God. To know, to love, to serve are the heart of what Scripture teaches about God. It is doctrinal. There is teaching, but it's also personal and it's relational. And once you're in that relationship, how do you think a relationship grows? How do you think a relationship grows? No relationship grows out of neglect. No relationship grows out of laziness. You're not going to get closer to a person if you do nothing. You won't build that relationship in your sleep. It takes effort. You need to communicate. You need to make time. You need to actively apply God's grace. You need to depend on his grace. And in order to grow in the grace, growing in the Christian life means this. It's both passive, but it's also active. It's something that you depend on God for, to grow, you depend on God, but it's also something that you actively dedicate yourself to. Remember what Paul says in Philippians to this church? He says this, work out your sanctification with fear and trembling, because it's God who's working in you. God is working in us to grow, and at the same time, we need to work it out. It's intentional and it's deliberate, and we need to be intentional about desiring God, to know him and to love him. Okay? You can't wait just to start feeling it and then do things. It's discipline. If you're not doing anything, you're drifting. Some of us, you know, we think like, you know, I'm going through a tough time. I don't know. I'm not sure God is there. I have doubts. You know, I have doubts of what God is doing or if he's even there or if he even exists. Fine. That's great. You can have your doubts, right? You're struggling. Let me ask you a question. Are you doing anything about it? Oh, I'm struggling. I don't know. Like, are you doing? Like, it doesn't make any sense. Right, you come to me, and like if you're struggling with something, right, but you haven't spent any time with the Lord. You haven't spent any time with God. You haven't looked at his word. You haven't prayed. You haven't done anything except maybe go to church. And now you're going through something, and you want God to help, right? But you don't feel the faith because you feel weak because you haven't done anything. What do you expect? What do you expect? Of course it's going to be hard. Maybe you're learning about Christianity. Maybe you're still questioning Christianity. Maybe you're thinking about it. Well, what are you doing about that? Are you investigating? Are you reading? Are you looking into it? Are you asking questions? Are you learning? Are you trying? Because if you're not struggling with this, if you're not struggling and you're not doing anything, any of the disciplines, right, and you just have doubts, those are not doubts, right? Those are excuses. Those are excuses not to do anything and just live your life the way you think you want to. So the point here, Paul's saying to Timothy, you've got to train yourself. This is what you do. It's deliberate. It's intentional. Paul's telling Timothy and to other Christians, be deliberate. Be disciplined. Discipline yourself so that you might live a Christian life. Now, why? Why do it? Okay? He gives us two reasons in our passage. One is this. No one said being Christian was easy. No one said being Christian was easy. But spiritual disciplines can make it easier. It can make it easier. I read an article about a guy who was a walk-on in his college football team. He played tackle. He was a lineman. He got to go to school on a scholarship. But the thing is, he was on the team for 4 years, and he never played a game. Not even one down. Never played a game. There were kids on the team who hadn't even been there as long as he had, and they had more game time experience than this guy. But he had to go to practice. All he did for 4 years was practice, but he never played, yet he never missed practice. He did all the drills, so on and so forth, but for 4 years, he didn't get to play in the game. And then this kid becomes a fifth-year senior, right? Fifth-year senior, like my kid. He's a fifth-year senior. So in his fifth year, in his last year, the coach puts him for the first time in the game, right? People around him were cheering for him. They were proud because for 4 years, all he did was just go to practice. Now this is his chance. And during those 4 years, you know what his friends on the team told him to encourage him along the way? They said, hey, one day, don't give up. One day you're going to play. And when you play, the real game is going to be easier than the practice. So this kid plays in the game, right? I don't think he scored anything, but he played in the game. And afterwards, a reporter comes to ask him about it. And this is what he said. He says, you know what? My friends were right. The game was easier than the practice. It's not because the game was easy, but it was easier. Because for basically 5 years, he's been practicing. He knew what he was supposed to do. He knew when he was supposed to do it. He knew what his job was, his purpose was. He's been training physically for it. And it was easier to do when the time came. Why? Because he was disciplined for it. He was ready. And this is what Paul is trying to tell Timothy and to us, that the Christian life isn't easy, but spiritual disciplines done the right way can make it easier. That's one reason you should do it. Are you going through a loss of job? Are you battling a disease? Are you wrestling with temptation? Are there relationship struggles in your life? Work is really tough, right? What have you been doing along the way? Are you prepared for that? You're prepared because you've been praying. You've been held accountable. You've been reminded. You've been reading. You've been strengthening. So when the challenges come, it's not easy, but it will be easier. That's how it ought to be. Just as football practice prepares players for their responsibilities, just as hours and hours of piano practice prepares the pianist for a perfect recital, just as gymnasts practice faithfully and consistently to make what they do at the Olympics look easy, so too we are called to engage in spiritual disciplines for the living of the Christian life. That's a reason. Here's another reason in our passage, verse 8. It's a good investment. It's a good investment. Verse 8, Paul says this, bodily training is of some value. Godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. Paul says in verse 8, notice what Paul doesn't say. This isn't what he doesn't say. He doesn't say training or exercising your physical body is pointless because only the spiritual stuff matters. This is one of the few religions that actually says your body does matter, right? He says it has value. Physical exercise, going to the gym, doing a few laps, it matters. It's important. And that's something we can all relate with, right? Taking care of ourselves is important to most people. That's why many of you go to the gym. That's why you do some kind of exercise, because you want to be healthy, strong. Maybe you just want to look good. So that's why you put an hour at the treadmill or laps around the pool or run outside or lift weights or play your sports or eat well or maybe eat less, whatever it is. It's a good thing. And Paul is saying this. We ought to take care of our bodies because it's created by God and you only have one. You only have one. But notice what he says in this verse. He quantifies with the word some. Bodily training has some goodness, some benefit, but compared to godliness and spiritual training, there's a lot more. Why? Because let's face it, time isn't always on our side. No matter how much you exercise, what happens when you stop for a week or two? It feels like you're on ground zero again. By the way, I've been on ground zero for the past 4 months. Right? So that's what it feels like. It feels like whatever you work for is all gone. The hard part is starting again. And sometimes we don't. But on top of this, there will be a time where physically you can't even get to the gym. Where one day your bones are too brittle, your muscles too weak, your metabolism too slow, and things break down. You see, physical training, Paul says, it has value, some value, but only for a time, only for here and now. Only for our present life, which is important, but Paul says in verse 8, godliness, spiritual training has value, not just now, not just the present life, but for the life to come. So by comparison, physical training has some value, but spiritual training can have an eternal one. And yet we spend hours and hours on something that by comparison is short-lived. Why not spend more time on something that could be more important? If you want to work on something in your life, maybe this is an area you need to work on, because it's beyond just physical. It's not just profitable for the body, but spiritual discipline is good for body and soul, right? So Paul says, train yourself. Exercise yourself in godliness by God's grace. Now, third point, okay? What is it? Why should we do it? And here's the third one. How do we do this? There's so many ways you could do this, okay? But let me just divide it into two things. There are personal spiritual disciplines, and there are interpersonal spiritual disciplines. Personal disciplines are things like Bible reading, personal prayer, quiet time, fasting, some people. Those are personal. But there's also interpersonal personal. Worship, you do it with others. It's an interpersonal spiritual discipline. Going to a community group. Doing a Bible study, an accountability group with some group of people. Right? Praying with your spouse or your children or family worship. They are interpersonal disciplines. Right? Personal disciplines, things like reading the Bible, journaling even, learning by yourself. Interpersonal spiritual disciplines like participating in the worship, hearing the word of God, serving in the church is interpersonal discipline. Even giving in the church is an interpersonal discipline. Fellowshipping, not just socializing, fellowshipping. Praying in the church, together with the church, learning with the church. Those are all different ways, but there's two ways, personal and interpersonal, and we need both. And in the next following weeks, we're going to look at a few things. I'll give you a few things that we can do, right, that we have been doing and that we will do, and we'll be open to you as a resource so that you can do this, okay? But for our purposes today, I want to leave you with this. Sometimes, more important than what you do, it's how you do it. And the thing about spiritual disciplines is that it's easy for people like us to take a spiritual discipline, a God thing, a good thing, and make it a you thing. As people, here's the danger. We can take anything we do as good as it was meant to be, and we can make it all about us. Let me give you an example, okay? Let me ask you a question. Raise your hand, all right? How many of you read the Bible in some regular way? Raise your hand. Okay, so it's like three people. 10 to 15 minutes a day to get close to God. Read the Bible regularly. All right, you do that. That's great. Here's what happens when we do this. You say, I'm going to read the Bible now. I'm going to finish it in 1 year. What we do is this. We put that on a checklist. All right? I'm going to commit to this every day, 10 minutes. I'm going to do this. Fine, you're organized. That's great. Now it's a checklist. Now it becomes something that you do. And by the way, I don't know any human relationship that grows with 10 minutes a day. Right? You see your spouse or your kids, hey, I'm going to give you 10 minutes a day. I don't know if that's going to grow, but okay, it's better than nothing. Right? It's better than nothing. But what we do is we make it into a checklist. Right? And the temptation is this. I've been doing this. And now you want something. You need something. You're going through something. And you're saying, God, like, I've been doing 10 minutes a day faithfully. How come you're not blessing me? How come you're not hearing me? That's one temptation. We're trying to use spiritual discipline to get what we want from God. All right? Not to get God, to get what we want from God. The second temptation, the way we need to do it and think about it, is this. There are some of us, maybe you didn't raise your hand, but inside you're smiling because you know you read an hour a day, right? You read an hour a day, and you're looking at all these people in the church not raising their hands, right? And you're thinking, this is what you're thinking. You're not saying it, but you're thinking, look at these losers, right? Look at these people who call themselves Christian. They don't even read the Bible, right? They don't even pray. They don't do anything. Look at me. I read, I QT, I do Bible study, I even lead a Bible study. Let me give you a warning. If this way of thinking ever creeps into your head when you start to do any kind of spiritual discipline, I don't care how much Bible you've read, I don't care how long you've prayed, I don't care how many verses you've memorized, you're not being a good Christian. You're a Pharisee. When you look at Luke chapter 8, Pharisees practiced many spiritual disciplines. They gave to the church. They fasted twice a week. They memorized their Bible. And Jesus considers himself the epitome. He considers them the epitome of ungodliness. If that's what happens to a person when they read the Bible, pray, go to church, if that's what they become arrogant and they look down on other people, why would I want to do those things? I don't want to be like that. You see the problem? The Pharisees, just like many of us today, They saw the activity, they saw the discipline as an end, not as a means to an end. They mistook the practice of spiritual disciplines as godliness, but not as a path to godliness. Here's what we need to remember when we try to do anything in the church. The goal of anything that we do regularly as Christians is not just to get it done. It's not just to get something finished. It's not just to complete it. It's not just to get accomplished so that we can pat ourselves on the back. The goal of anything we do as a Christian is to get God Himself. It's godliness. Anything we do. The temptation for us, if there's anything we do that can be measured or timed or counted, anytime we have those kind of things, we're in the danger of making those things the end goal and thinking, okay, I've done it, I'm godly. So we need to remember not just what we do, but how to do it. How to do it without falling into these temptations, with the right motivation. We don't just pursue Bible reading. We don't just pursue prayer time. We don't just pursue community group and serving and going to worship. We pursue Jesus. We pursue God. As Paul says, we ought to pursue godliness. That's the goal. And we engage in all of these other activities to reach the goal, to get more of God, to get Jesus Christ in my life, more of His grace, more of His love. That's godliness. Doing Christian activities, we have to remember, are not godliness themselves, but it puts us in the flow of God's grace when we do them. The disciplines, Bible reading, worshiping, serving, giving, praying together, those things are wonderful, but they are like a pipe. They're a pipe which the water of God's grace flows. And if you don't have the water, if you don't have the grace, those pipes, those disciplines are empty. You grow as a Christian, not through the pursuit of some process, but through the presence of a person in your life. It's relational. And if you make that your goal, if you make Jesus your goal, that's clear. The prize for you is clear. Oh, and by all means, train yourself. Train yourself. Discipline yourself in godliness, both in personal ways and interpersonal ways. That's how we ought to do it. Okay? In the next few weeks, we'll look at a few things to give you to get to think about doing those things. We're going to invite you. A lot of interpersonal things we're going to do in the church that's open to you to make use of if you want to. But if you're on board with this and you need this, even though you don't want to do this, you know you need this, I encourage you to join. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for your grace. We hear it, many of us already know, Lord, that we are saved not by works, not by what we do, not by our accomplishments, our earnings, but, Lord, we're just saved because you have, out of your mercy and grace, decided to make us your own, called us sons and daughters, loved us like no one else ever has. And that will never change. But at the same time, you remind us in your word that as true as that is, that as our status before you is family status that never changes, growing in the family requires effort. It requires some effort. It requires some struggle. And even that we do by grace. But I pray and I ask, Lord, that you would put it in our hearts and minds, not just to wonder where you are and to wonder how we can experience more of you in some ways that are unexpected, but Lord, to experience you in the ways that you've given to us already through the very disciplines that you've made available to us, the power, the resource, the strength, the means to be a good Christian, to be faithful, to be strengthened is right under our noses, and we just fail to take advantage. So we pray, Lord, that we would be more disciplined. that you would train us and help us to train ourselves for the discipline of godliness. As one day we look forward to the day, not only do we need help living in this world, but we need the hope to look forward to the next. And it will not happen automatic. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.